God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising. Greed's not good and God's not dead. I don't care what Nietzsche or Ayn Rand said. The blood of every man is red, and I'm not going to war. They justify all the things they do with convoluted logic, and waves still pound upon the sand and will when they're gone. God's not dead, he's merely.
It is time for a weekly visit from our favorite social, political, and metaphysical commentator, Less Visible. He writes several blogs right around the globe that expresses reality as it is seen from beyond that smoky mirror of spin and deception, with a style and candor that cuts deep, separating, as it were, the bone from the marrow. And here at Feet to Fire, we experience the audio edition with the powerful poetic delivery of his written message, with a style that you will love or hate, depending upon your desire to be alive and awakened to the light of truth, or remain asleep in the darkness of delusion. Let us take a trip across the pond to somewhere in Europe, and this week's comments from Less Visible.
Aru and Adi, hopefully followed by some serendipity. Mr. Visible is in the saucer pod at this hour, as he always is, on a Sunday. And I'm hovering above the slaughterhouses of the world, and that's a bit of a double entendre, because the proliferation of one kind of slaughterhouse leads to the pervasiveness of another, and I'm sure you can find an entendre in there somewhere. Anyway, this is from John Robbins' book, The Diet for New America, and it says, the hidden cost of America's diet for health. Most common cause of death in the U.S., heart attack. Average U.S. man's risk of death from heart attack, 50%. Amount you reduce risk if you reduce consumption of the saturated fat and cholesterol in meat, dairy, and eggs by 50%, 45%. Increased risk of breast cancer and fatal ovarian cancer for women who eat meat and eggs 3 or 4 times a week versus less than once a week, 3 times more likely. Environmental. Fossil fuels needed to produce a meat-centered diet versus a meat-free diet, 50 times more. Primary cause of greenhouse effect, carbon dioxide emissions from fossil fuels. Area of tropical rainforest consumed in every quarter-pound hamburger, 55 square feet. Current rate of species extinction due to destruction of tropical rainforests for meat, grazing, and other uses, 1,000 per year. Economic. User of more than half of all water for all purposes in the U.S., livestock production. Gallons of water to produce a pound of wheat, 25 gallons. Gallons of water to produce a pound of meat, 2,500 gallons. Cost of beef if the water required was not subsidized by the U.S. taxpayer, $35 a pound for hamburger, $89 a pound for steak. Hunger. Pounds of beef produced on 1 acre, 165 pounds. Pounds of potatoes that can be grown on 1 acre, 20,000 pounds. Number of people worldwide who will starve to death this year, 60 million. This is written quite some time ago, though. Number of people who could be adequately fed with the grain and legumes saved if Americans reduced their consumption of meat by 10%, 60 million. Well, then I was watching Beverly Hills Cop. I'm on an Eddie Murphy kick at the moment. I happen to like Eddie Murphy. And one of the characters, Rosewood, says to Taggart, you know, they say that most people, when they get to be 50 years old, have 5 pounds of undigested meat in their colon. Well, those of us who know that carnivores have short intestinal tracts and humans have much longer intestinal tracts, so meat tends to putrefy there, which it doesn't do in a carnivore's body. What I'm saying is that we're not naturally carnivores. Those of us who have studied these things know the major causes of colonic cancer. We know that smoking didn't cause cancer until tobacco companies started putting about 13 chemicals into the paper to make it burn quicker, evenly, and or what have you. That's what makes smoking deadly. In fact, I think I'll take a drag. Huh, it went out. Well, don't mind me while I light this up. I always like to set a good example. Anyway, the authorities didn't make drugs illegal because they were harmful for you. Otherwise, alcohol will carry the biggest penalty of all because it is more dangerous many times over than the next dangerous drug. And most of those would be legal pharmaceuticals. Those are the next most dangerous. I suspect illegal drugs are some ways down the list. They make certain drugs illegal because they cause people to think and make them less easy to control. Alcohol fuels guilt, which is why it's permitted. Just like the agonizing Jesus on the cross relates to our suffering here and how it's intended for us to do so and to appreciate it because that serves the interests of the ruling class who causes us to suffer. Well, not entirely. We do a lot of that on our own. But let's stay with the meat issue. Meat very definitely kills you, but so do a lot of other things. However, the ways in which livestock are raised and harvested injects the fear hormone into the meat, and they also inject all kinds of other hormones as well. A good portion of all the meat sold is poisoned and or feeding ground for bacteria. People don't want to hear this, and they don't want to hear all kinds of things because it goes against their self-interest, their desires, and their appetites. When you figure out what's going on, you wind up in a very lonely place. But speaking from experience, you're far less lonely than most and never troubled by it either. That's the reason why there needs to be certain communities and movements on this planet in this Kali Yuga that gives an example in a place where people might come to learn what has been cast aside by the power-maddened materialists of this dying age. That's the reason I want to build a community, and either by my own efforts or because someone with more money than they can sanely use hears about my dream and wants to finance it. Either way, it will happen. I don't expect it to be a large community, and it won't be because it involves work and the ability to get along with one another. It won't harbor control freaks or psychopaths, and I know it can happen because I've been involved in some successful ventures. Well, one of the extensions of the community would be something I call the Tofu Factory, and I'm not interested in people telling me how bad tofu is for you because macrobiotics uses it. It would be a teaching restaurant environment where the people teaching and learning would live together. There would be a restaurant which contained a large deli case that sold all kinds of permutations of take-home foods, and they wouldn't all be tofu. There'd be all sorts of things, and these permutations would be made on site, and I guarantee you that some of what is being made these days cannot be distinguished from meat except for tasting better. It wouldn't be all about tofu. That's just a name. I've got all kinds of realistic money-making ideas, and I'm sure that other members will have them too. And I expect, you know, we're going to surprise a lot of people and support ourselves very well as well. I think we need to be careful about a lot of the new age ideas that pup gurus are using to get rich, especially some of the questionable healing practices that, well, hopefully common sense will rule the day, and that's why you have to be sane to be a member, and that doesn't give us a whole lot to choose from. Well, no, there are plenty of us, believe me, for this, but, you know, we are in the minority. I got hit by yet another terrible flu recently on the last few days, and that I think I picked up at the hospital, but this time, and I was thinking for once that I was on the receiving end of some astral attacks because this stuff's been going on for months, and it never happened before in my life. I never got sick, but like once every 5 years, and then it was some kind of a flu thing. It lasts for a week or 10 days, and then it would go away. I'd eliminate a lot of stuff, and that was it. I've never had any problems with my health, and I wouldn't say it's because of aging because my behavior is a lot better than it used to be, but however the case may be. But in any case, then my friend Amaranth also mentioned it to me, and the light went on in my head, and I did a couple things, guided by my invisible friends, and presto, it went away. I guess I shouldn't have been surprised, but I was. After so much hard luck of late, I suppose I had become a little disbelieving and figured I was paying some kind of penance. Well, the proof is in the pudding. I don't want to tell other people how to live, but I do want to be able to give them a schematic for a new way to experiment with it. And with life, and to see if it works for them. We're doing ourselves an injury on a regular basis. And, you know, we don't need to be doing that. We're harming ourselves. And I, for one, have been working to free myself from these things, and it's been a protracted affair. Sex is another one of humanity's greatest problems. Their lives wind up like animal carcasses on the side of the road, and for the same reasons. You could argue about whether the car should be there in the first place, but I submit that two of the biggest routes of fatality for animals is the pursuit of food and sex. And before cars, I think it was still the same way. Now, I was always a passionate fellow, both for my opposite number and for the divine. And it was a complicated thing trying to weave the two together until I discovered that it wasn't possible, except through a bona fide teacher or in, well, one of those magical relationships that are rarer than generosity in a banker. These days, the idea of having actual sex with anyone outside of my consort, you know, makes me shudder. And that's not with desire. I'm not criticizing the force. It's the primary drive of existence, and we all use it, including me, every day. But mostly we waste it like Onan instead of realizing how precious that oil is and what it can be used for. But you can't do that until you're ready. You have to walk through the fire and burn until the coolness of understanding rises in the higher mind. I'm having sex all the time now, but it's with my higher self, and the payoff is not merely the beauty and intensity of it. And that is as far beyond ordinary coupling as sugar is from honey, in my estimation. I see a big separation between the two. But it also allows you to make love to everyone you meet, to the degree that they will allow it. I can't tell you what a freedom it is to be free of this particular hassle of relentless attraction, amplified by the furnace of the world. The world is aflame with desire. Desire is endless, and so is the world. Desire is also the agent of God's will. And every event in our life, no matter how small you think it is a specific interaction between ourselves and the divine. My friends, everything we practice down here is based on a higher practice that is hidden from our understanding because desire clouds our vision. The same way actual clouds cloud the sky. And there's a lot to be gleaned by that if you think about it. Every now and then I get a negative comment at some of my blogs, and because life is a mirror, because people who are suspicious of others, with little reason, are also suspicious because they contain the same tendency in themselves. Most of the time what we see in others and which offends us is there to show us that it's something we have not yet handled ourselves. Among the complaints and accusations I get, usually accompanied by ridicules and ad hominems, and most often without even asking me in the first place to, you know, explain, you know, requiring me to explain where something might have gotten misread, or me asking for an example of it on their part and then not receiving one, these complaints are usually about what they perceive to be my ego misleading people, and not infrequently that it could do a better job, which I tell them to get right on to. I mean, my God, I will follow them instantly. You know, I'm always trying to follow someone better than me, and I didn't get where I am, if that is anywhere at all, I must say, if that is anywhere. I didn't get where I am, you know, by following my own advice. I saw where that got me. Anyway, the other complaints that I get is when people get doctrinal with me about Advaita and Advaita. The one is non-dual and the other is dual. Buddhism is an example of Advaita. They harangue me about departing from disciplines and traditions that I don't follow. Somehow they got the idea that I do. See, I can't follow either one because I'm a little of both anyway, depending on the occasion. And I suggest everyone is, but I might not be aware of it. I don't know that the ego is a bad thing. And I don't know how much ego in the service of my personality is actually in operation. But like I said, I know the ego is not a bad thing. It's part of the structure. Still, no one ever seems able to give me examples of either one as far as my behaving badly. And I really wish that you would, you know, because I can only learn from this. Trust me, I'm not just saying this gratuitously. I am earnest and eager to learn because it cuts down on the extent of my suffering to come. And if you know what I'm talking about, then you realize that I'm saying the truth here. So, meanwhile, it also comes with the territory. The reason I bring this up is because I never expect people to accept or believe or use everything I say. I'm not speaking to one mode of being or even on one level at all times or to any select group of individuals. The whole point is to take what is useful and ignore the rest. You will not hurt my feelings. I'm certainly not looking for followers, and I go out of my way to make that point and have throughout my life, okay? I am a follower, and I intend to remain that for the duration. I have learned the lessons that those I admire and do follow have learned. And I'm not going to elaborate on that at this time, because we're running a little short of time. But anyway, take what's useful and ignore the rest. Now, if you haven't read today's Reflections in a Petri Dish, I'd like to say that the time is very much at hand to consider where you are, what you are doing, and to strive to empty your mind so that you can hear the voice in the silence. I assure you, it is there. And if you can't hear it, you aren't trying hard enough. Of course, you can just work on increasing your love, and whatever you need will follow, because love is the cosmic vitriol. Love reduces everything into itself. It's the greatest power there is. So it assimilates and absorbs everything into itself. Nothing can stand against it, and nothing can exist in the face of it but love. Everything else is driven away, cast aside, or, as I said, assimilated willingly or unwillingly, as the case may be. You know, it's a really simple affair, but we complicate it with our minds, which is why we ought to spend more time in our heart and just send that information on occasion to our head to see if it corroborates. Because sometimes reason should win out over passion. But most of the time, the heart has got it nailed where the mind does not. Well, time to say arrivederci and say that I will see you next week, if there is one. May you be encircled by the great love upon which rests the universe, and out of which it is composed, and which also animates, motivates, and fulfills it. That said, aloha and aru!
You can see him in the morning when the sun is...
Feet to Fire is a production of IPS Media Works on the ONSIC Radio Network of Stations.